Welcome to the Unveiled Christ to the World broadcast with Reverend Judith Ann Glass. For over 40 years, the prophetic ministry of Brother and Sister Glass have gone around the world bringing the living Word of God to multiply thousands of people. Get ready to receive a fresh message of faith and hope that will bring you into new dimensions of the love of God. You can be that overcomer God has called you to be as you behold Him, the Unveiled Christ, in all of His matchless glory. Listen now to the whole Word for the whole man to the whole world, ministered in the power and anointing of God's Holy Spirit.
You don't have any problem that a miracle from God can solve. Greetings, beloved. This is Sister Judith, and I thank the Lord that you're able to join me today as we continue on in a message I've entitled A Better Covenant, referring to the new covenant that was established in Jesus' blood. And we began yesterday looking at the actual 9 historical steps that were part of, in a cultural setting, establishing a covenant. And the first one was an exchange of robes. And as we apply that spiritually, of course, Jesus left his garments of glory and majesty and became incarnate in human flesh. He humbled himself to become as a servant and a perfect sacrifice for our sins. And we, when we come to Jesus, he takes off our filthy rags. Remember that vision was what Zechariah had about Joshua the high priest with filthy rags, and the Lord commanded, put on a righteous robe, clean garments, and that's what God has done for us, the robe of righteousness he has placed upon us. And then the second step that we want to begin looking at today is the exchange of belts. In the Old Testament, the belt was very important because it held weapons, especially swords. Now, in the New Testament, there were 2 kinds of swords. There was a long sword and a short sword or dagger. In Ephesians, the 6th chapter, when it talks about the spiritual armor that we possess, the sword of the Spirit refers to the short dagger. So basically, we are wrestling the enemy in hand-to-hand combat through the power of the Word, if you will. In other words, it's close and up front, if you will. This exchange of swords means an exchange of strength or ability to fight. The concept is if anybody threatens or attacks you, they're attacking me. And that is the truth. Remember those, what is it? Is it Psalm 18 where David said when the Lord came, he was wroth and he came down and the mountains trembled before him. My goodness, I mean, the demonstration of God's anger coming in defense of his servant. Well, he does that for you and me. Your battle is mine and mine is yours. That's the principle of covenant. I will fight beside you and help to protect and defend you. Isn't that beautiful? And of course, in terms of our spiritual armament, what is our belt? It's the belt of truth. And here, we tell Jesus we exchange our strengths, our abilities to fight, which are minimal at very best, and exchange for his strength. The weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but they're mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds. He gives us spiritual weapons, ones that the devil can't overcome. That sword of the Spirit is the very weapon, offensive weapon that Jesus used against the devil in the wilderness. He said, it is written. Psalm 91 tells us we're hidden in the secret place. In the time of trouble, he will hide me in his pavilion. In the secret of his tabernacle will he hide me. He will set me up upon a rock. Now, in our flesh, we want to fight back when someone hits us, but vengeance belongs to the Lord. He can do a much more thorough and complete job. So there's an exchange of belts. And the third thing, the 9 steps that are involved in covenant, refer to animal sacrifice. And as I shared on Monday's broadcast, we literally read a few passages that describe what the Lord did. He told Abraham to get these animals, sacrifice them. And then as in the night, God appeared as a smoking furnace. He literally, by his holy presence, our God is a consuming fire, passed through those pieces of flesh, because that was the way one did a covenant. That Hebrew word means to cut or to divide. It's enacted by the shedding of blood and by two persons walking through two pieces of flesh. And so God was, and why did God do this? Because Abraham said, whereby do I know I'm going to inherit all these things you're telling me? And God made it as personal, as solemn as he could have. And that's what he has done for us. Now, we don't live in a covenant-keeping culture. So we hear the words and we may be not really able to relate to them. But there's a beauty and a significance when we see what God has done, when we understand his language, because everything he does by covenant. And so that animal sacrifice, the animal was divided in two, then two parties will stand back to back and walk in a figure eight, finally meeting face to face over the split pieces of flesh. And of course, the animal speaks of Jesus, the lamb slain before the foundation of the earth. And when he offered himself as a sacrifice, he went to heaven, he took his blood and sprinkled it on the mercy seat in heaven for us, so that we in turn can enter into God's presence through his shed blood. The veil of the temple, when it was torn from the top to bottom, was a literal example of what occurred in the heavenlies. That now, remember, the high priest could go once a year into the Holy of Holies. Now every born-again believer can come boldly before the throne of grace to find the help they need in whatever time of testing or trial they're going through. And our part, Jesus did his portion of the covenant. Our part is to present our bodies a living sacrifice. He's not asking like the gods Baal and the ancient gods that required blood sacrifice of humans. No, he's asking us to present our bodies a living sacrifice so God can use us and work through us. The two parties then complete this ritual by making a vow saying, God deals with me. If I try to break this covenant, you can split me right down in the middle and feed me to the vultures because I've tried to break the most sacred of all agreements. This is in the natural what men would do one to another. And so we can see God was using the most serious language, the symbology of anything that would denote the seriousness and the sacredness of his word to Abraham and to all of us. The fourth thing also now was the exchange of blood. Both parties cut the covenant by cutting their palms, and they used a quill pen to draw their own blood with which to sign the covenant. Talk about signing it in blood. Amen. Then they put their hands together, and through the mixing of blood, they became blood brothers. And in secret societies, this is practiced today in this world. Secret societies, of course, they don't publish it, but when defaults and the other person then possesses the right to punish or kill the offending party. So when there's an intermingling of blood, it symbolizes no longer two individual lives, but one life. They are joined together in solemn connection and covenant. When we take communion or we plead the blood of Jesus against the devil, we're actually enforcing God's covenant. If you fight against me, devil, you are fighting against my elder brother who defeated you over 2,000 years ago. Jesus shed his blood. That's what he did, his portion of the covenant. What is our portion? Well, we don't shed our physical blood. What are our wounds? I would suggest to you that which we suffer in serving God. Paul talked about fulfilling the sufferings of Christ. In Zechariah 13 and 6, the prophet Zechariah had a vision of himself telling an angel that his wounds were the result of what he suffered in the household of his brothers. And of course, many prophets were killed and executed historically because nobody wanted to hear what the prophets had to say. And of course, that reference also does apply to Jesus. So there was an exchange of blood after the animal sacrifice, and then there was an exchange of names. What happened then is God took the letter H from his name, Yahweh, and added it to Abram's. Abram became known as Abraham. His name was changed from Abram to Abraham, which means the father of a multitude. Abraham took God's name, and God took Abram's. That day forward, think about this. How often have you read in the Bible, God refers to himself as the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob? Hallelujah. And when we become Christians, We've actually taken Christ into our name. Isn't that precious? So there's an exchange of blood, an exchange of names, an exchange of destiny too. Praise God. That's the most exciting thing. And then, of course, a next point to share with you is a permanent reminder of the covenant, and that is the scars. Jesus bears in his glorified body scars of his crucifixion, and they are a permanent testimony of our covenant with God. Remember, he says, I think it's in Isaiah, he has graven us on the palms of his hand. That's referencing those scars, beloved. His wounds remind us of our responsibility as well as God's promises. And when we remind the devil that Jesus bore those wounds for us, we are saying to the devil that we have a permanent covenant with Jesus and our Father in heaven. By his stripes, we are healed. Praise God. And by the wounds he took in his body, those scars which are forever a reminder of that great love that sent him to Calvary and the Father's love who released him to be our perfect substitute, because we could never have done it. We were just worthy of death. But there was no way. God loved us so much, he wanted to make sure that we could be back in fellowship with him. And that's why he sent Jesus. What a beautiful, beautiful promise this is to all of us. What a marvelous thing, this covenant that God has established with us today, his people. Yes, these are it's a ceremony that was very familiar in the Old Covenant times, but today we can appreciate, as we review the aspects of covenant making, that our God is absolutely serious and how much he loves us, that he was willing to shed his blood and mingle his blood with ours, hallelujah, that we could become blood brothers, praise God. Well, my time is gone, and I must bring this broadcast to a close. As always, if you have prayer needs, I invite you to write, share whatever needs you have, and I will pray for you personally and send back whatever God gives, which I know will be a blessing. I have folder after folder of testimonies of how God has moved and answered prayer and how it was just the word someone needed to hear. I love you. Thank you for joining me, and until tomorrow, this is Sister Glass saying, may God's best forever be yours, is my prayer.
You're listening to the Unveiled Christ to the World broadcast. Thank you for joining us. You're invited to write Sister Glass at P.O. Box 577, Caldwell, Idaho. 83606 is the zip code. That's Post Office Box 577, Caldwell, Idaho. 83606 is the zip code. You're also invited to visit our website, unveiledchrist.org. You can learn more about Unveiled Christ there, as well as email Sister Glass. Again, that's unveiledchrist.org. And please remember as you write that your prayers for this ministry are greatly valued, and your tax-deductible gifts of support enable us to keep this radio program on the air. Thank you for joining us today. Until next time, God bless. Oh, behold.